Hallelujah. Well, the message I have to share with you today, you may wonder why today with this message, but I believe it's the message that God has. So we'll stay open if I get so far in it and decide, you know, that I believe that God isn't in it. But we'll start and see where we end up. What I want to talk to you today is about something that we all do. Some of us do it more than others. And it's a sin. The thing about that's why God doesn't want us to sin is because it always brings pain. And so this sin brings pain into our lives. It brings pain into the lives of the people that we have relationships with. It's the topic that we are doing in our book discussion group. So you guys that were here Thursday night, you guys that are reading the book, you already know what I'm going to teach on. But I strongly recommend, you know, as we go through this, because I'm just going to be doing an introduction, and this is something, you know, I read How to Stop the Pain, I thought it was 5 years ago, but when I looked at my book, it was 7 years ago that I started this. So I have been semi-working on this for the past 7 years, and I know, you know, I have not arrived, so I know that with all of us, you know, this is a journey that we will continue to work on if we decide to. But I do know how much better my life has gotten in the past 7 years since I started with this and developing my relationship with God. One of the reasons why I want to teach on it, you know, is why now is because, you know, we're starting the book, and I just believe that it's a subject that needs the whole congregation to hear, not just those taking the group. And for us to fulfill what God has called us to do, this is something I believe that we really need to work on. You know, Mark chapter 12, verses 29 to 31. I want to read our foundation verse again, because everything we do comes back to these verses. And once again, I want to read in the Passion Translation. I think I just read this in the last week or two. In Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31, Jesus answered him, "The most important of all the commandments is this, the Lord Yahweh, our God, is one. You are to love the Lord Yahweh, your God, with every passion of your heart, with all of the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you, and with all your strength. This is the great and supreme commandment. And the second is this, you must love your neighbor in the same way you love yourself. You will never find a greater commandment than these." So we see that, you know, love is our standard. Everything comes back to love. Everything we do, our goal is that everything we do is we are motivated by love. And when we're talking about love, we're talking about agape, the love of God. So what we're talking about in its simplicity is seeing people as valuable. We need to see ourselves as valuable in Jesus. You know, we need to see others as valuable. You know, during prayer this morning and had some things going over my head and stuff, and recognized, I'm thinking about healing, actually, and you know, laying hands on the sick and that, and recognizing, because a lot of people, a lot of Christians believe, you know, for you to get healed, you have to get right with God first. But I was thinking about it and thinking, you know, God is our Father. God is the Father of mankind. All of mankind does not recognize that God is their Father, but God is the Father. God, just because you're born again, doesn't make God your Father. It just means you are experiencing God as your Father. But whether you're born again or not, if you're a human being, God is your Father. He created you. Okay? So why do we think, you know, as Christians, that to get somebody healed, that they have to be born again? What gives us that we're better than people that are not born again, that we are more superior, and so we deserve healing, but just because they're not born again, you know, they're the bad kids. They're not the accepted kids. But we have so much of this religious thinking and self-righteous thinking. But so we need to look at ourselves. Why do I believe what I believe? Why do I react? Why do I respond the way I do? You know, is my motivation love, or is it something else? Okay? So our topic today is judgment not an option. That's my title. Judgment not an option. So let's look first of all at Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. And as I said, this message is just an introduction. There's a whole lot more, and I recommend that you, if you're not in the group, that you get the book if you really want to deal with this issue, because, you know, James Richards is a phenomenal writer. Whether you agree with everything that he does or says, you know, but he's a phenomenal writer. And this book especially is very simple in the steps. He's a great communicator. He lays out things on how to do it. So, I recommend this book for if you want to make some progress in this area. But Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, in the NIV version, it says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now let me go back and read this, and I'm going to use the definitions for these two words, judge, because every scripture doesn't mean the same thing. So that's the thing with the Word of God. You know, you need to dig deeper if you really want to know what the Word is saying. So in these verses, this is what we're saying. It says, "Do not assume the office of a judge, finding fault with this or that in others, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you pass judgment on the deeds and words of others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And this word, this measurement, is an indication, you know, how much you do it is how much is going to come back to you. You know, I know I still judge. But I know I don't judge as much as I did a few years ago. I know I'm making progress. And that's all we can go after, you know, is make progress. At least make a decision and start working at it. And hopefully that you will have more understanding of exactly what we're talking about with judgment, you know, with after today's message. One of the things that we assume, you may have actually been taught this, or we assume this when we read these verses. We assume it says, if I judge other people, God is going to judge me. But that's not what it says. It says, if we judge people, people will judge us. And that's why, you know, that's why it brings so much pain into our lives, because it's not just the judgments that we're making that brings pain, but then we're being judged back, and so that brings more pain. And that's that measure. You know, the more you judge, the more that you're going to bring that back in your life, you know? And so it's... You know, if you want to get rid of the pain in your life, then here's a biggie for you to address and deal with. Now, Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38 is saying the same thing that the Matthew verses said, but it adds some stuff to it. So, Matthew chapter 6, verses 37 and 38, once again in the NIV version, it says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, I have used, you know, Luke 6:38. You know, you've probably heard it. You know, over the years, you may have used it yourself. You know, that's the one we want to hang on to. Give, and it's going to be given back to me. You know, all this, you know, all this good stuff. I'm going to just get lots of stuff when I give. You know, it's going to. And that principle, this is true, because this is the law of sowing and reaping. But if we look at it in the context that this verse is in, it's not talking specifically about money here. It's talking, you go back to the judgment, you go back to the condemnation, you go back to the forgiving, you go add it to the giving. But what it says here, with judgment, with condemnation, with forgiving and giving, this statement applies to all of them. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it'll be poured back into your lap. So once again, what we put out is going to come back to us from people. It's not that God, now is not the time. God is not judging now. You know, John 3:17, it says, God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. Amen. The time of judgment is coming. And sin brings its own judgment. People judge, sin judges, God is not judging. But that's one thing, you know, sin brings its, you know, what it says, the wages of sin is death. Sin brings its own judgment. So a lot of times, you know, we read a scripture and we say, God is doing this. God isn't doing it at all. God has said, this is what's going to happen if you do this. And these are these scriptures that are saying the same thing. If you judge, if I judge, then that's what's going to come back to me. If I love, then I'm going to get love back. If I, you know, whatever I put out there is going to come back to me. But judgment is a biggie, you know, not just in the church, in, you know, good Lord, America. There is so much judgment going on in America these days. But, you know, we need to focus on not what anybody else is doing. I need to focus on me. You know, I need to focus on healing, get my pain healed. I need to focus on getting my relationship with God as it should be. That's all that matters is me. You know, me dealing with me, you dealing with you. It is not my job to deal with you. It is not your job to deal with me. I am supposed to deal with me. You're supposed to deal with you. Praise God. I am just giving you information to protect you if you choose to walk in it. Okay, so let's see here. So what I give to others emotionally and relationally is what they give back to me. It's not just money. You know, we can use that scripture for financially. And we notice here that, you know, that what I just read to you, you know, we a lot of the connotation has been over the years, you know, when I give, God's going to give it back to me. No, God's not going to give it back to you. Once again, man is going to give it back to you. And it may not be a man coming up to you and saying, you know, here, have $1,000. You know, you gave in church on Sunday, so here, have $1,000. It can be unexpected. It can be pay raises. It can be an increase in business. It can be all these ways, but it comes through man because, you know, we give, it comes back. It's not, you know, it's not up here with this kind of stuff. It's here to here. Okay, so, the other thing that we want to notice here is that statement, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured back unto you. When people give it back to us, they always give more than we give. You know, that's the law of the seed. I talked about this a few weeks ago. The law of the seed is whatever you plant, you know, when you plant a seed, you just don't get that one thing. You know, I gave you the example of the apple tree. One little apple seed, and you get bushels and bushels and bushels and bushels of apples back again, you know, all things being equal. You know, you plant a kernel of corn, and you get hundreds of, yeah, I think somebody figured that out, how many kernels of corn you actually get back. So that, and that's what this verse is saying. You know, you may think one little judgment is no big deal, but you're not going to get back one little judgment. You're going to get back multiple judgment back on you. And you're going to wonder, why do people treat me this way? Why is this? Why is that? Well, probably because of what's coming out of you, probably from your judgment. You know, it's always out there. It's always, you know, it's the fault of out there. We always need to look at ourselves. My problems are because of me, my decisions, my choices. Not out there, it's in here. The importance of dealing with our heart. And she's back again. Come on. You know, the reason why she has free reign up here, because Wayne and I always said, you take the best of Wayne, you take the best of me, and you get her. So.
Wow, that was very nice. I listen to Richards a lot too, and one thing that I've learned from him as well is even beyond what she's saying, I hope that I can explain this, but when you judge, kind of like we talked about a few weeks ago, it's not necessarily always just, okay, I judge them and they're going to judge me, but it's you're sowing a seed in your heart. And so when you're sowing a seed of judgment, it affects your heart. And, your heart is about how you perceive things, how you filter things. So you may actually not even be judged more by people, but it changes your perception. And when you are judging, then you tend to perceive that everybody's judging you, and it becomes like this. It becomes again like this continuum. It's always this cycle. And so you make a judgment, and then you start thinking, well, it's like, because you're thinking that way, you're assuming that other people are thinking that way about you. And so you assume that, and then now that becomes a judgment. And so yes, absolutely, it's true that people will judge you, and you'll reap that in a natural sense. But in a spiritual sense, and just within your heart, you're sowing a seed of judgment, so it changes your heart, and you start automatically thinking, why are they judging me? Why, you know, and they may not even be thinking about you. But you're assuming that they're thinking this, that, and the other thing. And it's just this crazy cycle that we get into, and we, I'm gonna let you go.
Okay, so what she brings us to, what does it mean to judge? You know, we all have probably our own interpretation of what it actually means. The word judge, if you look it up, if you study it out and look at the definition, there are variations of meaning, and it depends on which scripture you're looking at, you know, what exactly it means. So every time you see the word judge in the Bible, just like most words in the Bible, it doesn't mean exactly the same thing, you know, in every scripture. But for our purposes, what we're talking about this morning, the word judge means identifying what someone did is not judgment. That's merely observation. So someone, they slapped somebody. So, you know, that's an observation. That's, you know, you can look at that and you can say, you know, that was wrong, that was right, you know, whatever is done. But when it comes to judgment, it's when we assume to know why a person did what they did, and that's when we've entered into judgment. And when you start thinking about this, you recognize we do it a lot. Some of us may do it a whole lot. And the thing is Christians, you know, as I said, I don't have time to do this whole subject. You know, Christians, you know, especially, you know, charismatic, Pentecostal word of faith, you know, people that believe in the gifts of the Spirit, a lot of times we say we are discerning people. We know where it's God, it's the Holy Spirit showing us why they're doing what they're doing. You know what? It's not really likely. Because God is maybe in the office of some of the gifts, the fivefold ministry gifts, but generally, even in the fivefold ministry gifts, my experience has been, is my beliefs changed, how I saw people changed. So generally, it's, you know, we can use, you know, it's, I'm intuitive, I pick up these things in people. No, pretty much it's all judgment. Hate to break your bubble, but. Amen. So it's deciding why. And it can be, you know, it can be, you know, we decide why someone did something. We decide the reason they did it. It could be words. You know, one of the things I love about texting is it's a good way. It's so phenomenal for transferring information. But so many times, you know, I take my time because all it is words. And the receiver puts their interpretation on what emotions are with those words. So, you know, okay, do I need to use emojis? And which one emoji do I need to use? And which, you know, are they going to, you know, and how well do I know this person? Are they going to understand that I'm joking, or are they not going to? Because you just put, you know, I've already discovered that, and I've discovered that with my family, that I can put something out there, and if they don't, you know, if they're whatever mood they're in or whatever, and what I meant is a joke, they take it as I'm serious. So it's, you know, it's that kind of a thing, you know. We decide why someone sent that text the way they did, or email, or whatever, okay? And we won't even get into Facebook yet. So, let's see, lost my spot here. It can be a look. You know, I can tell you, you know I have been judged by my look for over the years numerous times. Not whether I'm ugly or good-looking, but the expression on my face. I have been continuing to judge. And if you're the same temperament that I am, I'm sure you have too. Because if you're not smiling, people put their own interpretation on that, and they decide why you're not smiling. They decide why you're not saying hi to them, or why, you know, because, like Shell was saying, because everything, our judgment is because of how we look at life. My perception is my reality. So however I look at life and I look at the situation, I decide that's how you're doing it. And so what I would do, that's what you're, you know, in my eyes, that's you're doing the same thing I would do. Let's see, where are we again? Body language, you know, the way that we move, or, you know, hand gestures or whatever, and not a, you know, I mean, some hand gestures are pretty obvious, but that's not what we're talking about, just the way we, you know, whatever kind of thing. And we don't, and sometimes, you know, why, maybe a lot of times, it's not even a conscious judgment. It's all of a sudden, you know, we make this negative feeling. How many, well, I won't ask for a raise of hands. Maybe none of you have ever had this. But, you know my road rage issues. You know, when someone pulls out in front of you, how quick we say, you know, they did that just to get at me. You know, it is a total stranger. And we respond accordingly. That's a judgment. wheels are turning. And another thing that's interesting, we're told it's not just that we don't judge the wrong, we're not supposed to judge the right either. Scripture is just flat. Don't judge. So I can't decide. You know, the statement we hear, well, he has a good heart. How do you know? No, he does it. He did something. You know, this wonderful person. You know, maybe it's your kids, but they have a good heart. You know, they're doing all this. They're breaking the law. They're on drugs or all this. But they're just, you know, it's because it, you because yeah. But again, any situation, you know, and we decide, yeah, that for that whatever reason, you know, there's negative judgment on that person or a positive judgment on that person. But we don't get the right. You know what? We don't even get to judge ourselves. And that's freeing, whether you realize it or not. Okay, so let's an example. Say Johnny spills his glass of milk, okay? So responses, and you may now have never said these responses, I hope. Maybe you've had them said to you, but you know, looking at a child and they do something like, you know, spilling a glass of milk or something. And the response is, you're so clumsy. Oh, you're so stupid. Why did you do that? You know, you always do this to me. You ever make that statement? You always do this to me. Well, when did it become about you? You made a judgment. And you decided your child is doing whatever because to get back at you, to make your life miserable. How many, I mean, I won't ask for a raise of hands, but I can pretty much guarantee every parent here, at some point, you have kids, you decided that what they did, especially when they get to be teenagers, because what do? We look at the symptoms. We can't look at the heart, but we decide what's in their heart. The only way you can know that, you know, we're to train them so they can express their emotions to you, and then you know, yeah, because you had a rotten attitude, that's why you did that, because that's what they said, not because we decided. I can get, like I said, this is not just a one-week, praise God, we pray, and we're all better situation, no. This is a journey. Let's see. And then we have an example of, I think this example is in the book. You know, you have a husband and wife in the kitchen, and, well, the wife's in the kitchen, the husband's in the living room, and he says, hey, could you get me a cup of coffee? And she totally ignores him. And so the husband, well, you know, you never do anything for me. I mean, and he gets off on this cycle, you know. And then you find out what the truth is, that she doesn't hear as well as she used to. So she never heard what he asked her to do. But he makes a judgment on why she did what she did. Well, we do this a lot in marriage. How often do we decide what our spouse, the reason our spouse did what they did, said what they said? You know, Wayne used to do this. Wayne probably told you about this at one point. And I heard recently of someone else that does the same thing. Wayne used to argue with me in his head. And he'd get it all figured out. You know, if she says this and then I would say that and that. Because our difference in temperaments, and he needed to think through everything. And you know me, here it is. And so he would, you know, because it was easier to argue with me in his head than it was to actually, you know, work things out between us. But, you know, those kind of things, because we decide why someone is doing what they're doing, okay? Okay, we assume things, we presume things. This is my big weakness. It has got me in so much trouble over the years. I assume things about people. It's not that I assume bad things about people. A lot of things I assume that they're at a different level spiritually than they are, that, you know, that they have whatever. I assume things. So it's all part of judging. I presume. We judge others, as we said, from our perspective. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel," I want you to notice this, God said this, not man, God said this, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Amen. God is the only one who can truly know the heart. When people assume to know why, then their reactions are not based on reality, they're based on judgment. Because we decide. We decide what's in people's heart. We decide their motive. We decide the reason they're doing what they're doing. We don't have the right. God never gave us the right. The thing is, this is one of those things that, you know, we just, yeah, you're not supposed to judge, but we make it into our convenience. This is, I'm not judging, I'm just, you know, whatever. But all it comes down to is judgment. Like I said, we all do it. It's just, how much are we doing it, okay? Let's see. Scripture that we had, I think last month's scripture, Proverbs 4:23. What does it say? Guard your heart with all diligence. Yes, because that's the source of it all. So I am responsible to guard my heart. If I want to change my judgment, change judging, it's all about, has to come back to a heart issue. I have to guard my heart to keep other judgments out, and, you know, guard my heart so that I don't get into judgments, okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 19, in the Amplified Bible, it says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay or requite,' says the Lord." That word avenge means to exact satisfaction for a wrong by punishing the wrongdoer. Word says we don't have the right to do that. And that's what judgment does. It may not be a physical, you may not beat somebody up, but so much of the time, what do? It's we do it through emotionally, relationally. You know, how often do you hear about families, former friends, and they haven't spoke to each other for years, and nobody even knows why? Because, you know, there was a judgment, but nobody tried to work it out. But, and it destroys relationships, okay? Let's see. A judgment, when we avenge people, it's a judgment response, okay? Now, you think about kids. How many times with kids do you say, "Well, he hit me first. Why did you do that?" "Well, he did it first." The thing is, it's we don't let that go in childhood. We do the same thing. We're just more subtle about it. We may not haul off and hit somebody because of what they did, but we determine why they did it, and so we may attack verbally. Facebook, good Lord. Now, I don't do Facebook, but when Wayne was alive, and Wayne did Facebook, he would tell me some of the stuff that was on there, and I've heard from some of you some of the stuff that's on there. This is a classic example. Someone put something on Facebook. From where they're coming from, it means one thing. The reader determines it means something totally different and goes on these rants. Enough said. The silent treatment. I won't ask for a show of hands how many of you use the silent treatment when someone does something or says something. Generally, we're talking about family relationships or close relationships. But this is how we judge. And then we don't just judge, then we take it a step further. We decide why something was said or done to us, and so we're going to get them back. We're going to avenge the wrong. Let's see here. Another one, we pout. Sometimes marriages, these are the classic ones in marriages, a silent treatment, pouting. You may not be a pouter, you may live with a pouter, and you have no idea why that person is pouting. But you have done something or said something, and they have determined why you did that, and instead of discussing, instead of asking questions, they put a judgment on it, and then they're going to make you pay by pouting. Or passive-aggressive behavior. There's a lot of different ways that we do it. Okay? In the book, there is this list of things, you know, that he goes through. So I want you to think about this. You may not grasp it all as I go through it. But this is the process that we go through when we go through judgment. It says, the moment we attempt to determine why another is doing what he or she is doing, you have given it significance. You know, you can go through life, and it depends on where your heart is. This is what it comes back to. It depends on what's going on in your heart, the significance that you put on what is said or done to you. Now, it may be someone in the grocery store that, you know, does something, and you think, oh, no biggie, I don't know him, you know. But if it's someone you know well, then there's significance to it. Or you could be, your heart could be in a state where, you know, it depends on what stress you're dealing with or whatever. The person in the grocery store could bump you with a grocery cart and you could totally lose it. Good Lord. I mean, you see things like that happening. But that's what's in your heart. What's in your heart comes out. Okay? And you're being judged, you know. You did that on purpose. They don't have to say that, but their response is, you know. So it's the significance that we give to things. That's where we start where this starts going downhill, okay? Keep in mind that nothing has the power to hurt you until you attach significance to it. As I said, you know, you could have, you know, depends where you are, where your heart is. But you can have, you know, people out there, what they can do doesn't matter. What they say doesn't matter. But the closer it gets into you, you know, closer the relationships get to you, then you start to attach more significance. And the thing is, significance is step one. And then our emotions start to get involved. And that's when we start to have the damage start to happen. We take it personally. You know, this is where we start seeing the results of judgment, because we take it personally. Okay, you did that. You know, you were after me. You know, it was me that you were after. And most of the time, you know, people can do right things to try to help, but our interpretation is still, you know, the wrong reason. And so, once again, we still have pain, okay? Another person's actions are only as significant to you as the judgments you pass on them. And so this is when, like I said, this is when the emotions start to kick in. And we know that when thoughts plus emotions, we put the two of them together, thoughts and negative emotions, that's when it becomes something that is likely to affect our heart. That is when things start to, we're likely to start having problems. We're entering into sin if we haven't till that point, okay? Let's see. The judgment you make is based on your decision about why that person did what they did. You know, they did something and you decide, you know why. And for the most part, we don't have a clue. Unless you know the person real well, you know their history and they've done things like this before, and you've asked them and they've told you, yeah, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's the only way you actually know why. The only way we actually know why someone's doing what they're doing, okay? The degree of pain or insult you experience from the actions of another is based solely on the judgment you pass, okay? And the judgment you pass is your assumption of why he did what he did. So once again, like Shel was talking about the continuum, we start and then we get doing this negative cycle and then they're likely to respond back and then we judge again and then it just becomes this vicious cycle. More pain, more pain, more pain. Luke chapter 17, verse 1, it said, Jesus is speaking, he said, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. This word offenses, it means the opportunity to stumble. In other words, the opportunity for me to get into sin. The opportunity for me to mess up. The opportunity for me to get into unforgiveness or whatever. Anything negative that would be pulling me away from God. Jesus said, it's impossible. They're going to be there. They're going to be, as long as we live, offenses are there for us to tap into. But it doesn't mean that we have to, okay? The statement that he has in the front of his book, it says, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. So you can have a painful thing happen to you, but it doesn't mean you have to bring it into yourself. It doesn't mean you have to make it a heart issue. It doesn't mean you have to, you know, continually go over it in your head. It doesn't mean you need to respond negatively. That's a choice that we make, okay? too often when someone offends us, the law of love goes out the window. You know that confession, that love confession that I have given you and keep encouraging you to read? I'm going to tell you again. I strongly encourage you to go read that, confess that about yourself every day. I know it's helping me. I do it every day. And when you're reminding yourselves who you are, that you are patient and kind, that you don't, you know, you're not touchy, fretful, or resentful. It's one of those things to help, a key to remind yourself, I'm not going to judge because I'm not touchy. You know, I'm motivated by love. This is who I am. And the more we do it, the more that we're going to see the results of it. Okay? So I have an exercise for you to do, not just today, but for you to, if you want to write it down, if you have the book, I think it's in the, I'm not sure if it's in the book. So if you really need it on paper, I can type it up and get it to you next week. But this exercise is what, place for you to start, place for, you know, for us to start as far as dealing with this judgment. It says, begin to notice when you assume to know why someone does what they do. It's not hard, it's just reminding ourselves. First of all, remind yourself, I don't know why he's doing what he's doing. If I want to know why, I will ask. And that's a weakness. I have the weakness pretty much, and most people that I know of have the same weakness, is we don't ask questions. We assume. We hear something said. Oh, this is a biggie in the church. We assume. We hear someone say something, and we choose, because of our perception, we choose that's true. You know, I know a while ago now, it's been probably a year or two, someone said to me, no, they said it's someone else who told me. And they said, you know, they just, the music is so loud there, it's because they like it that way. No one ever said that. No one has ever said that our music is loud because that's what we like. If anything, Wayne and I over the years have tried to get them to turn it down. Our biggest problem is the acoustics in this place are very tough to deal with, and we need more money to buy more equipment to adjust whatever. So. But people assume. You know, people don't ask questions. You know, I could give you other examples, but I won't. But people don't ask questions of the person, you know, one-on-one, or someone who could know the answer. They just assume this is why they do what they do. This is why we do what we do. Do you know that's why? Did you ever talk to Wayne about it? Did you ever talk to me about it? Did you ever talk to the people involved in it? Judgment causes so much damage in the church. Causes so much damage in our personal lives. Okay, let's see here. So, okay, so you want to ask somebody, what, you know, and so this is a suggested way to approach. This is what I feel when you said that, did that, you know, looked at me that way. This is what I feel. Is that what you meant? Or was that your purpose? That's the only way that we're likely to find out why someone actually did or said what they said. But even with that, I could do something, you could do something, or I could say something, and just because I did it and you asked me, why did you do that? It doesn't mean I know why. It doesn't mean you know why. Because so much of what we do and say is because of our subconscious responses, you know. There's things called, let's see here, do I have it in my notes or did I? Okay. I can't find it in my notes, okay. There's things such, oh, there it is, I missed it. Triggers. Triggers are, you know, you have an automatic response. You know, I was thinking of this example. You've probably seen this in a movie or TV show. It's where I've seen it the most. And a guy has a military background. He may have been in a combat background or he's special ops or something like that. And he's now with his wife or girlfriend. And he says to her, or else he does this, you know, he says, you know, you've got to, don't wake me suddenly, don't, you know, don't startle me, because his automatic response is to kill you, okay? That kind of a thing. Well, we all have triggers. Generally not that severe, but we all have triggers. If you look at your life, you will find that when certain thing happens, you will automatically respond. Or you may see someone, and this, like I said, it's not always conscious. A lot of times it's not conscious. You may see someone or hear someone's voice, and you're responding not to what you see or who, you know, what you hear, but you're responding to someone from your past. And it can be from the time before you were 5 years old, because that's when all this stuff starts to become concrete within us. You know, I know I've had former alcoholics that I've heard, you know, that they smell. All they have to do is smell a liquor, you know, or whatever it was they drank. And they get these physical responses to it. You know, we all have triggers. You know, maybe it's chocolate chip cookies for you. You know, there's always, we have all these triggers. So we don't even know why. And that's what, you know, with kids, you know, how many times our automatic response to our child is, why did you do that? Well, pretty much, I can guarantee, pretty much most of the time, a child does not know why they did what they did. You know, I can remember, you know, Jeff was in adolescence, and he was dealing with some anger issues. And I remember asking him, why are you so angry? And he flat out said, I don't know. How many times, I could ask some of you, you know, why are you angry? And you probably don't know. Why are you sad? Why are you depressed? You may not know. Because it's all this subconscious, you know. I saw one picture where the conscious, it was like an iceberg. You know, our consciousness is like 10%, and the subconscious is 90%. So, and you know, unless there's something that we can, you know, bring things to the surface, or the Holy Spirit reminds us, which, you know, he can, he reveals it to us. Once again, it's, you know, judgment, okay? Let's see here. We go through all our exercise. No, okay, so that was step one. The second one is send away any negative emotions you have about the person's behavior. And number three, in other words, put off, put on. And number three, do not condemn yourself. All we're doing is noticing. We're not supposed to judge ourselves, as I said. The word judge or examine yourself means to look for the good. Look for the good in us, who we are in Christ. When we try to fix ourselves or other people, you know, there's the story about the wheat and tares, and talked to it, and he said, don't tear it up. You know, if you look at the parable in Matthew 13, and he said, should we pull out the tares? And he said, no, because if you pull out the tares, you're going to pull out the wheat too. In other words, every time we go after the negative things in our lives or other people's lives, we generally harm the good. We generally cause damage. You know, the negative self-talk. How many of you, you know, I've been through this, you know, too many times to count. You know, it's looking at myself, you know, I screwed up. You know, I did it again. I didn't, you know, why did I do that? You know, when we do that, it's judging myself. Because it doesn't mean, I don't know why I did my, you know, do stuff myself. Same thing is true. So even judging ourselves is not going to bring positive results. The biggest thing that I know of to help with stopping judgment, my personal experience has been that the more that my relationship, my love relationship with God has grown, the less likely I am to judge. Now, I believe, you know, as we talked about this exercise, I believe that we need to work at not judging. But to make it easier is the more we deal with it internally, the easier it is to just not judge. Instead of, oh, I can't judge. I can't do it. Did I judge? It just becomes more automatic. So I encourage you once again to work on your relationship with God, to work on experiencing his love and how much he cares for us. And the other thing is, my suggestion, as I said before, would be to get the book. He goes through a whole lot more detail and explaining more detail on what this is. But it's something I believe we all need to work on. Because for us to be a church, you know, not just experiencing the love of God, but exuding the love of God with wherever we go, something we need to work on. Amen? Amen. It wasn't a praise God, hallelujah, jump up and down message, but I believe it was the word of God. Praise God. Let's spend some time in worship.